Accountants Are Sexy is back for another season, and this season we'll see our 100th episode. I want to take a moment to thank everyone that's helped so far. Every like, listen, subscribe, watch, all of it means the world to me. This season is sponsored by Charterpath. Charterpath is a charity designed to help the financial skills gap within nonprofits. I've recently joined their advisory board to help them on their mission to increase volunteering within the financial sector from only 10% to a very healthy 50%. If you want any more information on how you can be a part of this mission, then drop me a message or leave a comment or visit their website, charterpath.org. Now, are we ready to meet the guest? Well, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Accountants Are Sexy, Change My Mind. Today, we are representing...
Oh. My goodness, we look away from this. Really, I love it.
We're representing with James Marshall. We have a slightly advanced talk, because the thing that is going to be launched, the thing we're going to be talking about today that we need you to know about, is actually going to be launched in a couple of days' time. So this is a tiny sneak preview for me, and I'm dead excited and dead happy that you've chosen to come on this. So thank you very much, and welcome to the show, James Marshall.
Thank you so much. It's the way to be here, and nice that even Captain Chadden represents as well.
Exactly. We all represent.
We do.
We all represent. What we represent, that's to be determined.
Indeed. Indeed. That's deep. Already that's some deep. Wow.
I told you I make people cry. I go deep straight away. I can't do small talk.
Got it. Prefers me. Let's go.
So talk to me, James. In 2 days' time, and I'm not swearing you there, that in 2 days' time, you're going to be launching a new side of the business, or the bigger vision for your business.
Right.
And by the time people have heard this, the secret will be out. So what's going on in your world?
Great. What's going on? So on the 1st of March 2024, just over 3 months into the history of Represent, we come into phase two. Phase two, for anyone less familiar as myself and Ted will be, with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is when all the good stuff gets going. It's what we do and how we do it, providing business critical services in one place and one vendor that you actually need. As I did overall in that statement, but what do we actually do? Number one, commercial growth. Second, compliance resourcing. Number three, human capital management. Number four, IT and technology systems. Number five, digital transformation. Quite a lot
that
to load there.
Is a chunk of stuff. All aligned, all aimed at the accounting profession.
Yeah, so we work with financial services providers. We work with accountants. We work with SaaS vendors. We also work with some large corporates as well. So there are variations to what we provide in service depending on the market vertical that we're working with. But 1st of March is the official launch of the business. We worry about 15 clients across 3 continents. So yeah, it's the reason why I look like I'm barely 40s even though I'm 32, because I've aged a lot in the last 3 months.
I'm not going to take offence to that, because I am in my early 40s. So,
you look like you're 32, though. That's the thing, right? Whereas I am 32, but look like I'm in my early 40s. So there you go. That one's swept away. Thank you very much.
So you say you're only 3 months into this business?
Yes.
Okay. So what were you doing before this business? Talk to me.
Not very much, if I'm honest. No, so I've got...
Fiddling my thumbs.
Yeah, just taking clients out.
Waiting for an idea to happen.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just buying my time, really. So over the last decade, I've worked with huge companies, UK-based software companies, the likes of Iris, the likes of Sage. Absolutely loved and enjoyed my time there. I have provided souls... managed teams or even directed teams and certain parts of departments where it comes to services for accountants, tier one, tier two banks, wealth investment management companies, I am, as they would say, financial services through and through, Captain Kelly. So, yeah, I've got a decade worth of experience under my belt, won a couple of awards along the way, and just been cruising through life, having a great time, working with some amazing companies.
Amazing. So when you say awards, you know, I've had awards. I've had an award for being early for the next day because I was so late for school.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's far better than any awards that I've got.
Yeah, I got my 10 metres.
I think I got a fourth place runner-up rosette once, which was,
I'd still have that on my wall if I got it. But awards aren't everything. Awards aren't everything. So I'll leave that there. But talk to me then about this business structure, because it's different to what's available currently. This is a larger enterprise. It's got 12 founders. Am I reading that right?
Myself and 11 other co-founders. Absolutely.
I just picked you around a big round table, like the Knights of the Round Table.
There's some kind of like Jonathan Bourne AI-inspired image to be generated there. And maybe it's like me like that showing you what's happening. So maybe you need to get it as well. Right, I'll see what the
interesting.
I'll see what the book of Gorn can provide us on that one, Kelly. But the biggest thing to understand when you want to bring a change to the industry, you can have an idea, you can have a vision, it's great. But what I found very, very quickly as part of that vision is I'm not going to be able to do it by myself. Really simple and straightforward. And sometimes in business, what you need to do in order to be successful is facilitate the conversations with the right people in the right way at the right time. That's exactly what I'm here to do. So my job title, if you want a job title, is a job title, but my role is chief evangelist, right? It's my job to speak professionally about what we do and introduce the relevant subject matter experts, the right people, my co-founders, their teams, to introduce them to our prospective client once we've qualified and clarified that we're going to be the right choice for the clients. And equally as importantly, they're going to be the right choice for the company for us as well. So that's my job, but building and scaling what we've done already and what we will continue to do so as we move into phase 3 and phase 4 for Represent across 2024 and 2025, it's impossible to do by yourself.
Damn it.
It's a nightmare. It's crazy. Board meetings are great, full disclosure. And especially when you've got one in particular of my co-founders being MC of it and coordinating the masses. But yeah, it's awesome times.
I'm looking forward to Friday, by the way.
And also, as one of our esteemed guests, I'm delighted. So yeah, great to... Onside, no one is watching.
Enjoy some.
Enjoy some, great, Chris. Enjoy some. Sometimes I say the lights off, so nobody can actually see. But yeah, ironically, I'm usually by myself, so woe is me. Get ready to. It's an amazing evening. We've got some amazing people speaking there. One being the UK's number one motivational business speaker, Brad Burton.
I think he's like mentioned on every one of my podcasts.
News travels fast. The good news is out. The good news is right.
Yeah, I was interviewing Nick Elton. The other Elton. Yeah,
awesome.
So Brad gets about it.
he's known by many, and that is his gift. Right, positively impacts people's mindsets. That's what he does. That's what he's done for me. That's what he does for our board of Represent.
Excellent. So talk me through the individual business services you are attacking, for want of the best word, and why is it important that you bring your spin to these services?
Great. So we'll start with commercial. Because I guess we'll start with that. The most important thing for any business is selling your services. If you don't sell your services, you don't exist, or you cease to exist, right? And Let's focus in on the accountancy profession for this part, even though, as we discussed, there's multiple other market verticals. Otherwise, I will have you here for hours going through the complexity variations.
I don't care about anyone else. I only care about accountants.
And that's because accountants are sexy.
So exactly.
We got that in there.
Why waste my time?
Absolutely. But no, so we'll start with accountants going through commercial. So selling through services and selling your business is really, really important. It's an overarching comment, and it's going to annoy some people, but it is the truth and it is honesty, and it has been said to me by many accountants. Accountants don't like selling. A lot of accountants do not feel confident. They don't want to come across as salesy. They don't want to question their clients into what they do and how they do it. What we do to change that, number one, I work strategically with people managing sales within accountancy practices and help to change their mindset in order for them to change their industry. Every accountant needs to understand and know that the services that they provide, it's not just the following words. What might be there, what a client might want, depending on the service and depending on the client, each and every service that you offer is valuable to that client, and it's your duty and responsibility to make sure that they know about that.
Yeah.
The way you go about doing so, I've been doing this for over a decade, sales comes naturally and easy too. So teaching people how to do that themselves is really, really important, whether that is training their staff, getting with everyone together, doing a workshop day in the room, implementing a bespoke sales methodology that I've written for the organization and training people on that. It's really, really important to grow your own. Sometimes you don't need to externally resource a service or solution. Sometimes you've got a great and fantastic team there that can do that for you, right? They just need to be given a little bit of a helping hand.
Empowerment.
Absolutely. So really, really important. Number one, empowerment. Number two, strategy. So you may find this yourself with a lot of what you do. I know I am an avid reader of the content that you put out on social media daily. Absolutely adore what you do and how you do it. A lot of times, people seem to think that you can have sales and marketing, either one of them, and you're going to be successful. To a certain degree, you can be. But if you harness them both together in the proper, succinct ways, that's when logic happens,
I'm a bit old school with this. When I think about marketing and sales and marketing, I do think about it as sales and marketing functions. Because when I started in sales way back when, they were so closely aligned, and they would be in offices that are so next to each other, and you would talk about it all day long, and there'd be a product management specialist that sat in the middle. So it was always sales and marketing for me. And then I think because of the digital age, that's showing my age, I think it kind of got broken up into sales, telephone, marketing, online, and then all of a sudden the marriage wasn't there anymore. And I found that really strange.
Yeah, it is. Why should the reliance be on, so give you an answer, right? Why should the reliance be on the marketing company when you're not getting sales through the door? So if you're not a marketing company, you have to produce your content, build your content right out with your input and investment. But it's ultimately the responsibility of you, or if you choose to resource with represent, shameless plug there, it is the responsibility of that person to get that lead and opportunity, manage that funnel and manage that sales cycle in the most efficient way, where that leads to close one rep. So I guess something back to it, one of the most important things around our resource commercial solution, so where we provide either a part-time or full-time member of staff to work with a fantasy firm in this parameter, to manage the entirety of the sales cycle and process. Really important to understand and get that across. Leads do not generate revenue. We contract our teams on closed won revenue, and we manage everything from lead generation through to client signature, the accountancy perhaps spent to take up, the client data from the client onboarding from there, but also working with firms in relation to cross-sell and upsell for their existing clients, their existing services. Ultimately, and in short, we connect business owners, we connect firms, we connect their teams with their ideal client quicker and for longer.
So would you then go through a process of reconnecting with these clients to upsell them? So they have the conversations with their accountants, with the accountant staff throughout the year. There would be a touch point for you to say, how's it going? You know, are you enjoying the service? What's missing? How's your business growing? And have those conversations that are a bit more probing.
Absolutely. So there's one thing here of net new revenue, right? Either from new logo wins or even from existing customer growth in MRR or ARR, depending on how you report it. There's another thing there for proactive revenue retention. So just writing this way, right? We've all left contract with a business some way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's because we got grown, which is great because we don't need money anymore. Sometimes it's because they've given us a bad service, or more likely than not, somebody else has come along to be able to provide a better service, right? So the client's going to leave. They've kind of made that decision already. You might have even signed a contract with a new accountant, and your chance of saving or retaining that business in custom is minimal, if it exists at all. Proactive revenue retention, checking in with your clients, making sure they're happy, making sure they're getting value out of service, is the single most important thing where it comes to retention of revenue. And a lot of firms that provide amazing service, a lot of firms, like, there are hundreds and hundreds that I've worked with over the last decade, right? And there's so many firms that miss that. They don't have people properly equipped to be able to do that.
There is a phrase that rings through in my head from the conversations I've had with accountants, and it's when their clients turn around and say, I didn't know you did that. I didn't know you offered that service. I didn't know, because they're not having the conversations. They're not bringing that to their attention because they're not asking about their business. Yeah. So it never comes up in conversation. So they feel embarrassed because they feel like this salesiness is probing and intrusive and they shouldn't be doing it. And actually, you are missing an opportunity to retain your customer, provide more value and give them what they actually need.
Absolutely. It is huge. That is one of five things in a nutshell that we do.
Amazing. So what about the others? I mean, you've got like IT and what else?
Absolutely. So compliance being the next one, right? We have a team of 14 already in India providing resource offshore solutions for accountants. So that could be anything right the way through from bookkeeping, VAT, management accounts, year-end taxation for corporates, as well as for personal tax, payroll, and even audit, right? So any other firm, depending on what they think and feel, global right-sizing of who is doing that work, creating cost efficiency, creating ease of use from an onshore perspective, giving their team more time back to be able to concentrate on what is the most important thing, which is the client relationship. In a nutshell, that's it, simple and straightforward.
So the pushback here, some people are still very unsure about offshore services, as outsourcing to India. So what have you found were the barriers, and how have you overcome those barriers?
Barriers, the biggest thing with this whole industry is transparency. And transparency is at the forefront of everything that we do. That we can really, really clear as to what that actually means in the real world. Transparency for us means we are open and honest in relation to all of our fees, not just providing services on a fixed fee. We tell our clients what we pay our staff, what our business overheads and operational costs are. We tell our clients what our profit margins are. When it comes to transparency, the contractual terms that our clients have with us are exactly aligned with the contractual terms that we have with employees.
Okay.
So it's not a 3, 6, 12 month contract. If we have got a notice payment with an employee across a 1, 2, or 3 month period, depending on the level of seniority, that is the exact contractual terms that we have with the client. The thing that's missing from this entire industry, quite a bold statement, this might come back to haunt me, outsourcing is dead.
Okay.
Outsourcing is a transactional service where an external company is responsible in totality for providing something. You take a process and function outside of your organization, your brand, whether you do things, that becomes diluted, it becomes missed. That's the reason why we use resourcing. Resourcing is connecting designated members of staff with a client, either on a part-time or a full-time basis, or even working with them on a collective number of jobs together, but having designated people that understand the process, the business, the culture, and the end client our service is being provided for.
Yeah.
Doing that in the exact same terms as the employment contracts versus the contracts we have with clients, having openness and transparency, paying our staff them only because our profit margins do not need to be anywhere near what others are elsewhere in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
That creates happier staff with a better working environment, freedom and flexibility with clients with brutal, honest, open transparency. My ambition is not to make a lot of money. My ambition, HLE, is to provide a significant change that the offshoring or outsourcing industry, where it comes to India, is to provide that change. Provide that change to people, provide that change to the industry.
It sounds like an incredible mission that you're on. It sounds like I'm going to say this, and I'm not actually sure how it's going to sound when I say it, but it's a young man's vision. So the generation that have come up have a totally different perspective on how things should happen and ethical stances and what they get enjoyment from and how business should be run. It's like there is an entire generation, and I think, and I'm not saying you're a young person, but that you're coming from that positioning where it's not about the mass capitalization, it's not about the increasing profit margins, squeezing every bone out of it and all of the juice out of everything you possibly can. It sounds so much more ethical and sustainable, and dare I say enjoyable? Mm. It sounds like an enjoyable business to be a part of.
That's the idea. We want to, what we want to see, what's really, really important to us is to create a culture of transparency, is create a culture of whether you are a client, whether you are an employee, whether you are an employee in the UK, in India, in any country that we continue to develop as part of phase three and phase four into. We want to make it a great place to be like. We spend so long in around work, our working lives. Life's too short. As far as I'm concerned, you're one of them. So why not do something great? Why not be part of something bigger? And that's what we wanted to create, the seed of in line with faith.
So I'm just going to send in a challenging question as well, because people at home probably be thinking about this. Why not UK staff for your compliance?
Why not UK staff for your compliance?
Yeah.
You need them. Really simple. So why not UK staff to your compliance? Any firm or business that has a concept or idea that they can offshore the entirety of their operations is wrong. Any firm that thinks that offshoring is going to rid UK staff of their jobs is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You need both to work in connection together. If you think about the vast majority of what is done from an offshore perspective. I'm not just talking about India, clients. South Africa, Philippines, Romania, anywhere in Eastern Europe, India, right? If you think about the vast majority of work that's done, it is, a lot of it is back-end processing work. We are seeing a change in the industry as people become more and more comfortable with SAP offshore, and they're moving through into client relationship and management roles.
Yeah.
What is brilliant to see with technology and the advancement of technology, you could be in your home office, you could be in your home office, but we're connected together like we're right there in person, right? So we're just talking about London Core Webinar. But where it comes to what is possible is global right sizing as to who should be doing that work at the most cost effective rate in order for the business and the client satisfaction to be its highest optimum level.
Mm.
That's what it's about, right? It's not about the disconnect. It's not about outsourcing. It's not about losing control of the process. It's around resourcing and bringing that partner into your organization to work exactly as you would do, regardless if you're in the office working from home or in an office in India.
I have heard some stats on using offshore companies in a similar vein. And the chap that was talking about it, that I'm going to butcher his name, I think it might be Gail Beaumont. I think it might have been at, I think his name is Dale Beaumont, but he was saying that his company has grown substantially larger and substantially faster because of the use of offshore services.
Yeah.
And he now employs more people from a local perspective than he could ever have imagined employing before because he's had this resource. And I was like, that's a totally different perception to what most people have.
That is a great angle on it. And ultimately, yes, my opinion, as biased as it may be, for obvious reasons, offshoring doesn't take away from the opportunities in the UK. It enhances them. Mm. Ultimately, it's the overall business level of profitability is higher. Clients are happier and the services that they're receiving because things are being monitored, attended to, looked after a lot quicker, rapidly, and, you know, with better precision. Because you've got the right combination of globalization of workforce, that creates more jobs, more opportunity, and a higher level of job security for everyone, whether they're onshore or offshore, right? So really, really important.
And one final question before we move on to other areas that you're working with. So this is accessible for smaller practices as well as the larger ones?
Absolutely. So what's really important? We're a startup here at Little Guy, right? Why would a little guy, even though ironically, for anyone who's not known me in person, I'm 6'6", that's certainly not what somebody would do as a little guy. But why would the little guy not want to support other little guys, all girls for that matter, right? So really, really important. It's available whether you are top 10 in the UK market, whether you have just set up your one-man band and you've got a handful of clients. Solution is there. It is available. And regardless of how we work with clients, whether they are small, medium, large, wherever it may be, all of our services are provided on a fixed fee. We don't work on hourly rates. So you, as the end user, the accountant, need to know your cost of settlement of profitability before you give commitments to work, which is the exact reason, regardless of how we work towards a fixed fee.
This is interesting. I know a couple of clients at the moment that are going through scaling, kind of. They're wondering when to employ, when not to employ, who to employ, and it's right on the tip of their tongues, like at the moment, with regards to their problems. So there is conversations to be had. I think we can make business easier. That's what it sounds like.
Love that. Make business easier. I take that one. Thank you.
So talk to me about the other three areas we still not got deep into it. So you got, and I don't know why. My memory's not great. All I keep remembering is IT, and I think that's come from an IT background.
If you've got an IT-related problem, you need fixing, Kelly, because I'm not the guy.
I used to be in IT selling service solutions.
Right, so I expect to get grilled on the IT section when we got to it, like I was.
And where do you host your servers?
great question. Next point, I will breeze through human capital management. So human capital management is one of two things, either the employment of staff or it comes to payroll and HR, right? So really, really important. We provide, again, looking at what the service we provide for accountants, number one, a bureau from a payroll situation. So we could either partially manage or fully manage the entirety of your payroll setup. We can do that on our bureau. We can do that on your systems and processes.
Yeah.
We can provide staff offshore through the processing. We can provide staff offshore as well as here in the UK. The UK part of that being to do with the client contacts and communication. That could be done as part of a white label solution, or we can be represent, depending on what you have the preference for.
Okay.
Same situation where it comes to HR. So where it comes to HR advice, support, HR directors having something signed off, a lot of small businesses, right? Let's focus here on small businesses and those that don't have an extensive in-house HR team. A lot of small businesses have queries and questions. Sometimes they guess that, where they shouldn't do so. And actually, you need the advice of a HR professional, but do not have the money, nor the need or requirement to have somebody in, either from a legal perspective due to your number of employees, or even from a cost perspective, mm-hmm. your turnover, your business, your profit that you make does not justify a full-time member of staff within that role. It's a lifeline for so many businesses, and it's an area that I feel is critical to understand, get right, and it's very, very important to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and I'm not sure to say it.
Yeah. So that's an interesting side to me as well. I used to work for a company who didn't have any problems for a long time. So you kind of coast, don't you, when you have no problems. You're like, it's not important. Who needs HR when you've got no people problems to the HR, you know, like for a need of them. And then they started having problems.
Mm.
And it's at that point that they had to build the relationships, find the people, kind of bring people in that had the skills and the knowledge to be able to deal with the problems they were experiencing. But it was all too late by them.
Mm.
Like the relationships had been damaged. Wrong things had been said. Emails had been sent. Like there was a lot to, and I had HR people do more than just manage the problems.
Mm.
But at that point, it was too late. They didn't have a solution in advance. And it was
to
watch the downfall of that.
Yeah, given with the apologies for this, but sometimes the time I'm not lucky enough to be a dad joke for a partner, but some great dad jokes. So I'll keep it accountancy related. and the biggest asset that we have is our staff, right? You've got to look after your staff, you've got to support them. HR isn't just a big scary thing that you need to go out when you sack tomorrow. It's about making sure that people are properly looked after, properly supportive, and can be in an environment where they can do the best job that they do.
Totally. I mean, you see my content. I talk about menopause all the time. Like, there are more. This is something that came up during the Accountex talk. There are more policies for pet grievances, but when they die, I can't think of the word.
Yeah.
There are more policies for that than there is for menopause. It's absolutely shocking, but this is why you need someone to come into your business, because it might not have been in your radar. You might not have been exposed to it before. There are things that you will not know that an HR person will know, that they can say, you know, shall we look at how this is affecting your staff? Or maybe you want to put a policy in for this because you've got women that are coming through their 30s and this is going to affect them. Like, you don't know what you don't know. So find someone who does.
Absolutely. Very, very important. You asked about IT, so let's get to it. Where do you store your data? What do you do? How do you do it? There are so many providers out there that are bigger, that are more established, that have huge amounts of capital and have their own very extensive server farms somewhere on an Amazon boat, which is inside of the correct areas with regards to data storage following Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
Try and do that against somebody else would be impossible, would be a waste of time, and it wouldn't work. Where you end up with issues where it comes to IT is being stuck between a rock and a hard place.
It's okay.
Number one, in relation to the support that you get, having a unified solution from one place, whether it comes to connectivity tools, whether it comes to Microsoft licensing, software, hardware, servers, internet, phone lines, and everything else, right? So anything IT related in a nutshell is the simplest way to do this. But the issue that you have is having everything connected together, having everything simplified and in one place.
Yes.
That's exactly what we do by Represent IT. So the equivalent of me, I know it's hard to think if there's anyone that is, so I'll let you finish that sentence.
No, I was going to say you can keep going if you want. I've got no words.
Yeah. If you think my sales experience, you take that into IT procurement.
Yeah.
And Connor Okum is one of my co-founders and is director of Represent IT. He has got that same experience within the IT field as I do from a commercial standpoint. There is nobody better that I know I'm aware of. I'm sure you were great and are great coach, but there is nobody that I know and I'm more aware of than Connor to best support what we're doing from the standpoint. So it's the project management. It is the unification of bringing together multiple different partners and service delivery companies, picking the cream of the crop where it comes to external partners and third parties that we work with, and bringing them all together as part of a unified, fully project-managed and supported solution. That is exactly what Represent IT does, all in one place. I said earlier on, Freddie, that Rock, you know, such a Rock and a Hard Place. A lot of the business was full of founders. So if you think about, the IT team blaming, your software provider or your service delivery partner and saying, no, this is an issue with this, they need to fix this, this has nothing to do with us. So that kind of trend comes up an awful lot in business, right? It leaves the customer stuck between the middle of the two.
Yeah.
We are providing both. If we're responsible for both and delivery of both, there is no middleman. We can fix ourselves, there's no issue, there's no downtime. We're there and can support a business from multiple different aspects in connection together. And Represent is about bringing together the best in their own fields and industries in order to do exactly that.
So how affordable is IT support for small businesses? Because I've networked with, met, spoken to different IT suppliers, and there was always the argument that it's an expense until something goes wrong. Kind of like the HR argument as well. It's an expense to go until something goes wrong, and then you find the value in it. And unless anything goes wrong, you never find the value, kind of like insurance. So how affordable is it for small businesses to have this support?
It's about on the cover that's required. Depends on what needs to be done for the small business. It also depends on the exact requirements as they are from both a software and hardware perspective, ultimately as to what that would cost. And again, I kind of I repeat what I said before, but in relation to a different business unit or a different business area, transparency. We show you our cost, we show you our profit margin, we show you exactly what's there. Simple and straightforward. That transparency is very, very important. We are not a software business. Mm-hmm. We do not provide a SaaS product. We are a service delivery business. We are not here to make our margin from reselling Microsoft products, licenses, or anything else. Mm-hmm. The savings that we make, the buying power that we have, that procurement and that saving, we pass on to clients as part of our deliverable service. So we're ultimately the responsibility for providing the service, whether that is the consultancy, whether that needs to be networking environment, the concepts of creation, building these out, public cloud, private cloud, depending on what we're talking about. There might be some people thinking, what is public cloud? What is private cloud? Obviously, you know what I'm talking about here. Yeah. But getting back to it, transparency and honesty is the most important thing. Procurement and taking advantage of our overall procurement position, creating cost saving for a business that if they want to vendor to get it themselves directly, and also project managing and coordinating. And the reason why, just to finish on that point, you talked about affordability for a business, right? Sometimes affordability isn't something that you can attribute directly next to an invoice value. You need to think about your loss of time. You need to think about the headache of doing so and finding that out. I think if you've got the right people that know what they're doing, whether it's in IT, whether it's in commercial, whether it's in compliance, the time saving you also need to track as part of your return on investment is what value does that provide to you? And is that the difference when you're doing it myself or having somebody else who's a specialist do it for me?
Yeah, no, totally. This is why my husband is worth every penny.
having met your husband before I met you and having a ring chat with him at the StriveX Christmas party, which is awesome, by the way. Having met him before, I can say, he's definitely worth his money, and it was incredibly knowledgeable. We had a cold chat about IT, actually.
Yeah, he's a super nerd, and he saves me a lot of time, like going over the same thing again and again, even if he just comes and does exactly what I've done anyway, and all of a sudden it just works like magic. He does save me a lot of time, and he saves me a lot of money, because otherwise I get quite ragey. And I might throw my laptop at a wall or something.
That is not okay. We've all had moments. should we be worried or concerned for your husband's safety? I don't know. I'm sure.
Just be worried about the laptop. It's fine.
Okay, it's fine. But that's cool. So we're four at five.
We are now four. Yeah. So we've got And I remember your digital transformation. Now, this is a big one for accountants. Mm. And I've heard Will Farnell speak about it and speak about it again, speak about it again. And every time he speaks about it, it's like the digital adoption seems to like be stagnant. It's not. Why is it not growing? And I don't know. Why aren't more accountancy firms far more down the digital journey than we kind of, from this perspective, assume they should be?
That is more subtle, most lawyers. I think you referenced mostly Will Farnell, right? So if you think about the human firm, you think about the percentage of accountants that are actually adopting and using cloud-based technologies, the fractional percentage of what's there in the totality of the market is minuscule, as opposed to my belief and understanding before reading that, right? Why are more people not getting involved in doing it? Sometimes it's a lot of fear, it's uncertainty. It's also, why do I need to do it, and understanding the benefit of that in advance of that process, right? Digital transformation can mean so many different things to different people. Like, a lot of people think, oh yeah, great, digital mass transformation, just a cool, funky little buzzword, right? Yeah, you've got them all the time, thanks. We've not found, team that is working on this, and the experts that are involved and excited for using it more Friday, she'd be like, no way! Yes, like, the experts are involved, particularly with digital transformation. There's not been a single product from a single source to another that they've not been able to procure, implement, train, convert, and onboard a business to. Okay. So whether you're a corporate, whether you're a financial service provider, whether you're talking about cool sexy fintech, whether you're talking about AI enhancements that have recently come into software solutions, which is great to see in the marketplace, bring on the AI, right?
Okay.
Whether it's in payroll conversions from one system to another, and to automate majority of the tasks involved in the payroll process for a UK top 10 firm who's got experience of doing that stuff already. Whether it has been, data conversion, right? That I could do myself, put one in 4 meters up, and actually everyone has somebody else take care of that full thing. There's so much that can be good. There's quite a digital transformation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the tech that you use with clients, but it's the tech that you use internally as well. And tech, digital transformation, and IT, there's a lot of overlap there in a really positive way. The great thing is you both, right? And that's the act.
And then you talk to each other.
We do. It's this great, great communication tool we've developed to call it the phone. Sometimes we use Teams. At the points, we also use the cup and string. But yeah, we talk to each other, we collaborate, we work together, we sit around the same board meetings and tables, we understand and listen to our clients, and we've got a proven track record of being the best in our own fields and industries.
Amazing. So here's a question then. How quickly are you thinking of scaling this business? Like, what is the next 3 months, 6 months, a year look like to you before you reach the next phase?
Again, that's a great question. I know this would be a lot more seamless than it's for me, essentially. I know we will, from an employee count perspective, from a global position, we're now just shy of 50.
Okay.
We'd be going overall, the brand representative going has been in place for 4 months. And I expect that from a headcount perspective to get on towards 200, if not 250, by 1st of March 2025.
Okay.
So, it's good level of scalability now, I think, fair to say. Geographically, there's also going to be further geographical regions that we open ourselves up to, that we continue to move into, and not necessarily just in relation to all services. But if you go in this way, there are other markets outside of India that are very, very interesting from a resourcing perspective. Geographies that are more aligned, you know, potentially culturally, if not from a time zone aspect with the UK market.
Let's
talk about the UK market here, right? But the US market as well.
Yeah.
But the Australian market, right? So there's a lot from...
Yeah, the world's opened up now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot from a development standpoint. I think before I consider, or before we consider expansion, scaling or anything else, the way I've always, I guess, run my own client relationships is the way I'd always run what is part of my business. You start with one thing, you perfect it, you do it, you self-resize more than anybody else in the market could do so. You do it again and again and again and perfect it. There's some things you can perfect before you launch them. There's some things that no matter how prepared you are, you learn in the real world, right? That is so important before we look at scaling. It's about making sure that every touch point with every single customer, every single service we provide is impeccable. And it's a brand and a reputation that is built on transparency, honesty. You're doing a bloody good job.
You're doing a bloody good job.
You're doing a bloody good job.
Yeah, I love that. There's nothing more honest than that. Just do a bloody good job. I like it.
Really important.
Yeah. So I'm going to bring this lovely podcast, because I could probably chat to you all day. We could go in depth for all of those subjects and more.
I'm there where you need me.
But I can't let you go without asking the one final question. So what is the sexiest thing about accountants?
Their brains. Their ability.
Not in a zombie way.
I mean, that's your thing, right? You're saying that. Definitely not in a zombie way. Not in the brains, other than where, you know, create an intellectual conversation. The brain of the mechanism is a wonderful thing. And I hopefully this will be up in the build book one day, because I'll be crunching it myself on there. But the brain of the mechanism is a wonderful thing, because having spent a decade, if not longer than with accountants, you ask an accountant why they started a business, why they started the business in the first place. Every single time that's been said, other than one, every single person that ever did give an answer to that, because they want to provide value to clients they want to support, which is a great thing. The only other contrary answer to that was, I want to create a successful business and make some good profit and income whilst providing a great job and service.
Yeah.
Our business acumen is so incredibly important. That's exactly what I'm here to do, and to support the amazing people within this industry that are there already.
I've asked quite a few people about what's the sexiest thing about accountants, and most of the time it is the service. It comes back down to their desire to serve. And I think that's so underrated. Like, and this is why the podcast exists, because I think it's a way of just drumming it in again and again and again, because they don't value it. They don't see it. And I think they need to. So thank you for coming on and helping me spread that message.
Credit to you, and thank you for spreading that message. I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Well, I'm going to send people to your website. I'm going to send people to your LinkedIn profile. And I can't wait for this to come out, because the secret will be out then, and then I can start talking about it.
Yeah, that's great. Until then, great time to spend you having place. So, yeah, awesome times. I'm looking forward to that being ripped up and brought up.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. We've got a ton more guests already lined up, and I can't wait to share that with you. Please also remember to check out our sponsor, Charterpath. They're bridging the gap between financial skills and the nonprofit sector. And if you're looking at growing your practice and wondering what is the next step for you or how to do that, maybe you want to check out Accounting Pirates as well. We've got a treasure chest of support there that might be able to help you get to your next level.